Aleluya. Are you there?
Amen.
For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Father, we thank you for your word. We give you praise. We acknowledge you right now. Thank you for opening our hearts, opening the recesses of our spirit. And Father, we stand ready to receive. We give you praise for what you're doing right now in the lives of your children, not only here, but all over this world. Thank you, Father, for quickening us by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Last week, we're still in the Brace Yourself series. Last week we shared on your wonderful life. We have a wonderful life, and I don't want to belabor that too much longer, but we need to understand that we've been given a wonderful life. Of course, there has been, as I call them, spiritual haters who try to take away from what God has done. There's always going to be a battle over anything that you receive from God. Doesn't matter how great or how small. We have an adversary that refuses to let you have anything and walk away just rejoicing. Practically everything that comes from God, you have to put up some kind of fortification. You have to stand. You have to be patient. You have to endure. You have to wage warfare for everything that God has for you. Everything. It doesn't matter if it doesn't matter. But if it comes from God, you're going to have detractors. You're going to have enemies. You're going to have haters that are going to try to come and keep you from receiving what God has. As wonderful as your life is, and Jesus said, that I've come that you may have life, and that life you may have more abundantly. It is a fight to have that. We live in a system, a world system, that is probably the main culprit in taking from us what God desires for us. The world system. The world system comes and it shows us things, and it tries to put us in a position of want. Not only does it put us in a place of want, because I find that when we get into that place of want, we are susceptible to temptation. Amen. And the world system knows that. Amen. The world system is caught up in trying to keep the born-again believer stuck in a world of materialism or temporal things. God is trying to enlighten us on those things that are not temporal. God is trying to get across to all of us how important the eternal life is. What keeps us from walking in the favor of eternity and the eternal life that Jesus promised, the abundant life, is the distractors, the enemies of your soul, the things that the world system concocts and just to distract you from who you are. I dare say that we really have not come into that place where we begin to realize who we are or what we have. We are not living on the level that Christ died for us to live on. He didn't die for me to crawl.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen. He died so that I could walk tall.
Amen.
He didn't die so that I could live a defeated life.
Yes.
You must realize what you have. I want to begin by, again, stressing the beauty of the wonderful life that we as believers possess. I want to say that this is not some positive thinking mind game that is being played. What we're saying and what the Lord is speaking to us is not some feel-good notion. This is not positive thinking. This is spiritual fact.
Yes.
Lest somebody be misunderstood and get this twisted.
Yes.
I'm not trying to tell you anything to make you feel better.
Yes.
Feel good for today and hope for tomorrow.
Yes.
It's not about that. It's not about just positive thinking. Now, we have aspects of Christ that we can remain positive as we begin to feed off of Christ.
Yes.
But just to think that everything is this way and that way because you're thinking right, it doesn't work like that. What we've been sharing is merely the truth of God's word, and it's being shared in the raw to stir your spiritual appetite to desire everything that Jesus' death on the cross provides. This has been raw teaching, especially when your mind has not been renewed. See, raw teaching rubs against everything that you know as an individual. Raw spiritual teaching. Because you have to face up to what you receive and make a decision after you receive it. Am I going to continue to go this way or am I going to make a U-turn and go back that way? I have to make up my mind. I have to make up my mind what kind of mindset I'm planning on having. Am I going to receive everything that the world has, or I'm going to receive Jesus' abundant life?
Yeah.
It is a mental battle, especially when something falls on you so great that you can't even receive it.
Wow.
It's almost impossible for some of us to believe that we've been made heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Hard to believe that you're holding a Bible that you've been carrying under your arm and on your table or wherever you have it and not realize that in it is your last will and testament of everything that's due you. Hard to receive that. For the carnal mind is not going to get that. Carnal mind not going to apprehend that. You got to have a spiritual mind because God is infusing spiritual thoughts and spiritual blessings and spiritual insight. You can't receive that with your natural mind. It requires something that's coming out of heaven's realm called faith. We'll talk about that. It's all about that today. As we've already discussed, the cross of Christ, the blood of Jesus, has put us in a wonderful position of being able to stand against some things that perhaps at one time had mastery over us. That's what the word of God will do. The things that used to beat you down, wear you down, overburden you, now that you have the word of God working in your life, now you're the master over those things. You're no longer a slave. Simply because it was a weakness in your life, it lorded over you. Sometimes a weakness is called a habit. That's what we use the term. Terminology, we use habit. I use the word bondage. And the enemy will come and he'll bring a bondage on you. And before you know it and you realize it, it becomes in the world a habit, but it becomes a snare. Where the enemy uses to keep you down. Keep you where you are not inquiring about what you have in Christ. See, if you don't know what you have anybody will beat you down if you don't know what you have as a believer. See, we're stepping out of that just church-going person. Get away from that person. Get away. Get away from that spirit of just going to church. I want to tell you, that ain't hitting on corn. Just going to church. And the reason that we've suffered so much in that division is because we often will go to church so that somebody else might see us go and form an opinion of us based on just seeing us go to church. It's a feel-good thing. If I go to church, I'm going to feel good come Monday. If things get rough on me Monday, I can always look back and tell somebody I went to church yesterday. I just want to let somebody know I went to church. Where you just coming from? Well, girl, I went to church. You got to get away from that. Your life is much too wonderful to be just consumed with what other people think about you and how you look on Sunday. See, because, get me when I say this, when you get over this hump, you'll be more than happy, more than excited to be able to attend church more than once a week. You see, because you come to church once a week or attend a service once a week, that doesn't do much for you when you got to fight the devil every day outside of that. You fight the devil 6 out of 7 days and you believe that one day is going to equip you for the rest of the week, you're sadly mistaken. You don't have enough. You cannot eat one meal a day and just one meal a week and expect to live a healthy life. If you just ate one meal on Sunday, do you think that's going to sustain you for the rest of the week? It will not happen. Will not happen. See, what God is trying to do, God is trying to stir his people up, people that will be on fire. You see, when a people of God are on fire, God will give people ideas. He'll give them inventions. He'll give you insight. He'll give you motivation. He'll give you plans. He'll give you schemes. He'll give you favor. Hard to get something favored that ain't moving. Every blessing that God ever bestows on anybody, it comes on a moving object, a moving woman, a moving man. You've got to be in motion. The Bible is a verb, basic instruction before leaving earth. But if you're not moving, if you're not doing something, if you're not trying to achieve in God, don't look for the blessing. It doesn't move on stationary material. Our lives have lost its luster because we're not moving enough to experience the abundant life. How many of us actually walk out the house every day and are just enamored by the sky alone? The clouds, the blue. How did he get blue up there? I'm amazed at what God does. I'm amazed at the waters. I'm amazed at the trees. I'm amazed at the skies, how God just stretches everything out, and he did it all for man. He grows flowers in places where people don't even live. You want to ask yourself, where did the flowers come from? You go down in a valley. You can be on the mountain, but on the mountain, you won't see a lot of the beautiful greenery that you'll see in a valley. Watch out. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with being in the valley every now and then. At least something's growing. Yeah. I know we got a lot of people like to go on the mountain. We like to dwell on the mountain. Ain't nothing growing on the mountain. See? God wants us to grow. He wants us to enjoy this life that he's given us. You see? And everything that Jesus' death on the cross accomplished for us, we need to have an understanding. Yeah. we're in a beautiful position to be able to stand against those things that had us bound. Curses, disease, poverty, debt, lack, depression, Jesus. Oppression, guilt, shame, Jesus. Low self-esteem, etc. We need to understand that Jesus disarmed and defeated all of them. Jesus redeemed us. Jesus redeemed us. We are the redeemed. Angels can't say that. Demons can't say that. Satan can't even whisper that. We are the redeemed of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We are the redeemed. We have special place. I've been bought with a price. The blood of Jesus purchased me. That's why I'm redeemed, because of the blood. The blood purchased me. Purchased me from where? I was in hawk. I was in sin. You've been to a pawn shop. You know what it means to be in hawk. We ain't been saved all our life. We pawned some stuff. Pawned some stuff while we were saved. We were just like, y'all looking at me like you ain't never pawned nothing. You need a dollar to, you know, pay for something. You had to pawn something. I need some money. So, and they tell you, they got pawn shops on TV all the time now. Green Bow Pawn and pawn. You got gold. We don't care what kind of condition it's in. Just bring it. We'll put you in your hand. We'll give you the money for it. Well, that's what Jesus did. We were in hawk. Jesus had the ticket. The ticket was his blood. When nothing else could get us out, the blood got us out. When nothing else can wash us clean, the blood washed us clean. When nothing else could clear my past, the blood cleared my past. It was the blood of Jesus. Precious blood, the writer calls it. That's what got us out. Now let me tell you something. You got to be cognizant that you were once in. Because if you think that you were never in sin, you won't rejoice as much when you come out of it. Sometimes we get this bad case of amnesia when God delivers us from something. God Almighty, we forget that he brought us out. And then when we get into the body of belief, we forget that we can also lift our hands and thank him for rescuing us. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me out. The church house should be the happiest place on the face of this planet, because it's filled with people who came out of stuff. I know you think you ain't never been in no sin, but I let you keep that to yourself. But you might as well realize this. You didn't come out by yourself. Good God from Zion. If you could have came out by yourself, you would have been out. Look at somebody and tell them, somebody brought me out. Goodness. Huh? No, 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 no. And then we get mad because somebody's sitting in our seat in the church. Little teeny stuff. Didn't give me the right change at KFC. And they shortchanged me on a hot wing. And I mean, he brought you out. And when you come out, you shouldn't be disturbed by little things like that, little issues. And little issues that come to bind you and keep you tied up and to snare you again. And that's what the world system does. The world system tried to play on your weaknesses. Build your weaknesses and put parenthetical marks around your weaknesses. That's what the world does. That's why the Revelator said, love not the world. We shouldn't. We got this relationship with the world. We think the world is such a wonderful place. And it's not. We thank God for creating everything that he has, but I don't think he wants us to fall in love with this place we have here. Yeah, I don't think he wants us to do that. We are the redeemed. Jesus not only, listen now, Not only did Jesus' death reverse the curse, but he gave us victory. You've been given a victorious life.
Yes.
This wonderful life. The benefits of victorious living. You got to understand that this life that we have, you can't take hold of it until you make up your mind. This is raw. You have to make up your mind. Either you're going to serve Jesus or you're going to serve the world. I believe that the majority of the church on the face of the planet is standing between that place right now. And mind you, I want to say that it's partly our fault. You know, I know that that God we serve calls us to be blessed. But there is a balance that God requires from his stewards. I'm an example of what God can do to somebody who's just hungry.
Amen.
And not greedy. Because you have to be hungry but not greedy. There's a difference between hungry and greedy. See, you can be hungry for the things of God, and it will cause you to see God everywhere you go. You'll find something about God in every area of your life. Everything that you have to do anything with has something to do with God. You surround yourself with the music. Because you love to hear the sound of the music that God enjoys. You surround yourself with the people of God because you enjoy the spirit and the power that dwells in the people of God.
Amen.
Everything about your life being hungry for God is Godward. Anything that comes from him, anything that has to do with him, everything, every situation concerning him is all about your hunger. Now, when you're greedy, the thing about greed is it can never be satisfied. More always wants more. Greed, you will put people under bondage. Because when you're greedy, you'll have things like 4 or 5 offerings. I got this one. I can walk today. See, greed will make me as a pastor think that you owe me something. You owe me something. I don't care if you don't come to church all the time. Long as you pay your tithe when you're supposed to pay it. That's greedy. I can't drive a car as much as I might want to. I can't drive it while some of you still walking. I can't buy a car like that. I can't have that, even though I know maybe the Lord will bless me, but I won't feel right. Because it puts me here while it keeps you there. When God calls us to walk on level playing ground. But that doesn't mean I'm supposed to have a poverty mentality. I'm not going to have it. I've been delivered from that. I've been delivered from poverty and sin and death and disease and all those other effects that were upon me before Jesus Christ died on Calvary. But my desire, not being greedy, has to be a desire that God will bless this body of believers more than anything else.
Amen.
That's what comes out of my mouth. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Cause their gifts to come out. So I have a wonderful life. You have a wonderful life. And once we understand that we have a wonderful life, our wonderful life together will make much music. Our wonderful lives together will make harmony, in fact. Because it's unity. Unity is harmony. It's supposed to operate like that. We have to develop that deep hunger, though. Man, you got to get hungry, church. Yeah. You got to be hungry for the things of God. Hungry. Huh? Let me say it this way. If you're not hungry now while things are going good, how hungry will you be when you don't have the good things that you have? And you don't have the whole lot, have a whole lot of materials. Because I know people with a lot of whole lot of materials would love to trade that in for health. And if you wouldn't have cut my leg off. Yeah, I know. They're going to open my chest up this weekend. No money can stop that. No money can stop them from quadrupling in your chest. And sometimes we have those experiences so that we can really appreciate what life is really all about. It takes us some time to go down to appreciate what is up and what's good about being up. I love living on the sunny side of town. You're supposed to stay on the sunny side. You have abundant life. Stay on the sunny side. Hallelujah. Stop letting the world tell you how you ought to feel. Because of the weather, you're supposed to feel it. Because of the weather, my arthritis is... God. Must gonna rain. I don't know. Hurricane kind of bad. Must gonna snow. See? Yeah. You got to have your mind. You got to have your mind changed. You won't have a transformed life without commitment. You got to commit yourself to this. I mean, you were saved. When you first got saved, right there, I don't know how many of you can remember the date, but you know the day that you got saved. That day when you got saved, you were ready to make any kind of commitment you could to Christ. You would do anything. If you just go back and remember that day you got saved. The day you gave your life to the Lord.
Yes.
What happened? The cares of the world came. All the cares of the world came and snatched your affections. That you don't love him like you used to. You won't jump over walls like you used to for him. You don't get up early and run and do the things you can with him like you used to, because the worldly affections have come in. Sucked you dry. And made Jesus seem like he's not the first thing. But he's the second, third, and fourth thing now. See? God blesses you to have children. So that means you have to put him behind your children. That wasn't his plan. His plan was to keep him first and then raise the children up under admonition of him. Yes. Keeping him first. And see? You get a job. At first, he was first when you didn't have it. Or before you got promoted, he was first. And then when you get promoted or you get a job, then he moves behind the job. He moves behind the job, and the job steers your affections. Now your affection for him has been translated to your job, where now you're trying to equate your job performance over your spiritual performance. And so that you wouldn't go back to him, the world system fixed it that you would get a raise and spend more time at work. That way you'll lose time with God. You better understand the scheme. This is a setup. This is not coincidence. It's not because you're so wonderful. It's a scheme to keep you from God. The scripture says in Matthew, seek ye first the kingdom. And his righteousness. Don't you know the devil knows that's in there? He don't want to see that fulfilled in your life. That's why you got to study. That's why you have to read the word and apply the word to your life. Your life can be more wonderful once you get the word jettisoned in your life. That's what makes your life so wonderful. It's going to be a life that's operated and functioned by the word of God. Instead of by my own opinion and my own thought life. How am I going to survive between these two places? in or out. Let me see now. You got to understand this. The enemy comes, this adversary that fights tooth and nail to keep us ignorant of the benefits of serving Christ, the benefits of being led by the Holy Spirit, the benefits of the joy of being saved. Whoo! He attacks our minds. Understand this. The natural or carnal man has limitations. Very limited. Your natural mind is limited. Amen. Go to Philippians 2 and 5. Philippians 2 and 5. Mm-hmm. Yes, some of this beautiful life has a mind. Yes. God, see, understand this. God wouldn't give you a beautiful life, a wonderful life, and not give you a mind that could handle it. God from Zion, he gives you a wonderful life and then gives you a mind so you can handle it. That means that your wonderful life has much, 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 much more than your natural mind can comprehend. I need to say that again. Good Lord, that was good. See this beautiful life that you've been given?
Yes.
Your natural mind, the mind you have before it's saved, changed, and renewed, can't handle this. Can't handle it. Folks sitting in church today and in churches all over the planet still don't have a mind to catch up with the beautiful life that they've been given. Because somebody can walk into them and say something like this. Did you know that there's nothing too hard for God? And their natural mind will click in and try to figure out what hard thing God couldn't do. You go to a natural mind and tell them that with God all things are possible. They'll trigger that thing through that natural mind and still can't get it.
That's true.
I give you a better one. Noah, go build me an ark. Get every animal 2 by 2and put every last one of them in there. I'm going to reign. The natural mind will try to click that thing in and try to figure out how can a man with eight people build an ark? What rain? It has never rained before. What is rain? Two animals of every animal? 2 of them? Male and female of every animal? Natural mind will start clicking. He can't do that. Noah can't do that. It ain't going to rain. We ain't never seen rain before. How you going to get all them animals in that boat? Evolution is still wrestling with it. Right now. Because their natural mind can't get that. The Bible tells us the natural man receives not the things of God. His mind is too carnal. Can't receive spiritual truth. Can't get it. How would you like somebody to walk up and tell you this? Walk by faith, not by sight. Oh, what you mean? What you talking about? What? I gotta look. Hmm? God gave me senses. I know he gave me senses for a reason. Gave me eyes. Don't trust them. Because if you trust your eyes, as soon as a situation come up, it'll cause you to revert from faith. And you'll base everything on what you see.
Yeah.
See? He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God. Now, when he said let this mind, it means that you have something to do with it. Because let itself means to allow or to grant permission. You got to give God from Zion. You have to give your spiritual man position and permission to receive this mindset. You have the authority. You can let anything else go in your mind you want to. I can sing a song right now from 1982 and y'all will know it. If I start singing, you are the sunshine of my life, baby. See what I mean? See what I mean? And some of y'all, see how things can go into our mind? It's because we let them. We grant them permission. We allow them. You see? Now he says, now allow this mind to be in you. What mind? The mind of Christ. See, you got to let the mind of Christ have its place in you. You see, you got to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What is it? It's a humble mind. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Now listen to this. You have to distinguish between personal and positional equality with God. Personal and positional equality. You have to know the difference. Listen. As to his person, Christ always was, is, and will be equal with God. We know that. He's God. Always was, always will, and always will be equal with God. That's his personal position. Now, in his positional equality, it's a little different from all eternity. Christ was positionally equal with his Father, but he did not consider this position as something to grasp or hold on to. Why? Personal. You can't separate God the Father from the Son or from the Holy Spirit. That Trinity is one. See, you can't change that. Jesus knew you can't change that. That's a no-no. But when he started talking about position, now he's saying that, well, I can trade that. Because I can, God from Zion, I can regain my position. And the reason he gave up his position and didn't think that a robbery to be equal with God, he gave it up because he had a love for mankind. He thought about redeeming us more than he thought about his position. God Almighty, do you understand? He said, let this mind be in you. What do you hold on to? Because you don't think what you're going to let go is worth what you want. Oh, God from Zion. Your mind, huh? This is the kind of mindset we're supposed to have. Our mindset that has priorities. See, you got to understand, positionally, I can do something in the body of Christ and not hold on to something I want to do. Something better. I'm going to hold on to something mentally better. What is it that you won't let go? So that Christ could be first. What do you don't want to let go? Jesus. It's not rocket science. You can see what you're talking about. Yeah. You know what I'm saying. You're already looking at what I'm talking about right now in your own personal life. What is it that you're not letting go? What is it that you're esteeming higher than the glory? This is raw. Because it puts us on the carpet. It puts us where the rubber meets the road. Thank you, Lord. This beautiful life we have. We have choices. You can choose. See? He didn't consider this position as something to grasp or hold on to. Redeeming mankind was important to him. Oh, as the song says, oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, you think he just loved you when he went to Calvary. He loved me before that. Yeah. Way before then. Before the foundation of the world, he loved me. Poured it out. Why should we think it to be called robbery when somebody calls us heirs of God? joint heirs with Christ. Is that hard to receive? It's hard to receive to the natural mind, carnal mind, that I'm an heir of God. That means that I am eligible for everything that God has. Everything that God has, I'm eligible for it. Everything that's in God, I'm eligible for it. I'm a joint heir with Christ. Whatever Jesus gets, I get. That's the Bible. Whatever Jesus gets, I get. See why you have to have the mind of Christ? Because Jesus didn't think it was a bad thing for him. His mind was already made up. Nothing in my Father's house is too hard for me. Or nothing is impossible for my Father. And everything he has is mine. Everything he has is mine. All Jesus' power. All Jesus' love. All Jesus' humility. All Jesus' in me. What is an heir if he can't receive what's supposed to be his according to the will? This is the will. Okay, you've heard it said, will and testament. Now, if somebody asks you on the street, have you filled out your will yet? Oh, no, but I'm thinking about going down there. Well, what are you going to do? I'm going down to let everybody who can get something from me have it. Or somebody is going to give you something because they feel like you ought to be part of the will. Well, I'll let you have this, I'll let you have. It's in the will. You won't know what you have unless you know what's in the will. If you don't know what's in the will, you won't get what's in the will. Somebody come and hoodwink you. The government does it all the time. The government does it because people don't do wills. And so whatever you leave, the government takes. But whatever the end result is, somebody gets something. Now, if I'm an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, that means I'm an heir of this. Every promise in this word, I'm eligible for it. It's to me. Healing is for me. Prosperity is for me. See, this is what you got to have mind change. You got to get your mind changed. The Bible says you got to be renewed in your mind. Why? Because the mind you have can't keep up with the wonderful life that you have. That's kind of funny, but look at it this way. Everyone in here thinks of living a better life. And not only do you think of living a better life, you already by mindset and mental capacity place everything out there that will make you live a better life. And you don't even have it. But your mind says, I need that, I need this, I need that. All in your mind, it's already being configured. So that when you get there, everything that's in your mind is already laid out. We call it planning. Well, I plan to have this, I plan to have that, I plan to have this, I plan to have a Great Dane, I plan to have... See, you already make plans. You already make plans. Your mind is already setting stuff out there. All the word of God is saying, change the way you think so that your mindset won't be impeded by the world system. The world system will come and corrupt your thought process. My goodness. I don't know about you, but this is good to me. Good to me. We have been given victory. Here's the best part. Y'all ready? Put your seatbelts on. 1 John 5. Mm-mm-mm. 1 John 5. Not the Gospel of John. Keep going.
Keep going, keep going. Keep going like you're almost going to the book of Revelation. Look back there. John got three epistles back there. One, two, and three. These are the three letters. That's basically what we're reading. We're reading letters. Letters that were written by the Holy Spirit through men of God. Wow. Are you ready? Chapter 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. The love of God is that we just do what he says. Just do what he says.
Yes.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
He's training our minds to be obedient.
Amen.
See, the mind has to be trained to be obedient. That's why it has to be changed. That's why it has to be renewed. Because it has to go through a process of being renewed all the way through. You who were once disobedient now have to learn how to be obedient. Disobedience is of the sin nature. Glory to God. Obedience is of the born again nature. So you have to learn. Excuse me while I do this. Pastors ought to do this sometimes, shouldn't they? Tie their shoes and stuff like that. Every now and then a pastor ought to be able to say, excuse me, I got to go to the bathroom. Y'all will be all right till I come back. I used to wonder to myself sometimes, football players on the field, I wonder what do they do? And then I found out what they do. They go hide behind something on the football field. They hide behind a jersey. You know, I said, well, what do you do when you have to? I wish one of y'all would stay here one time and listen to me preach so much that you couldn't get up. I said, no, you better get up. You better get up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 John 5:4, he says this now. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. What God tells us to do is not a burden. Not a heavy load to do what he's called us to do. And listen, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. The world that's trying to distract you. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believed that Jesus is the Son of God.
Hallelujah.
We've been given victory.
Hallelujah.
This world system is bent on pulling you from God.
Yes.
And pulling you from eternal things. Throwing temptation at every turn.
Yep.
Wooing us to cling to the temporary. Getting us caught up on time and sense. My wife was sharing something with me concerning time. But it has nothing to relate with this. But it's similar in what she was sharing with me. Time is not supposed to have control of us.
Amen.
Not supposed to have time. Not supposed to have control of us.
Right.
Because if time is supposed to have control of us, what is it about us as spirit beings that limits us to time?
Uh-huh.
Because time doesn't have authority over the spirit realm.
Yeah.
The world has made us slaves to time and sense. That's what it has done. Everything that we base our lives on based around time. What time you going to be there? What time you going to have it? What time you getting married? What time church start? What time you going this? What time you going to school? What time you get out? What time you go to work? What time you get off? What time binds you? Time. I know this is a little deep because time is so in our mind that it would take the word of God to wash that kind of thinking out. It takes time. So what I'm giving you is not going to come overnight. You have to prepare by going to the word and letting this word change your thinking. This word has to do that.
Amen.
Not only has to, but it will do that. The word will change your perspective. What you may have thought was so important, when you put it against the word and how you digest it, becomes very, very obsolete when you put it against the word. Jesus did it. Jesus, come. Your best friend, the one you love, Lazarus, he's dead.
Uh-oh, watch out.
Time. But he's dead. Jesus said, no, he's not. Jesus changed it. Jesus said, he's sleeping. If you had been here 4 days, he's been dead. If you had been here, he would have lived. He would have been all right if you had been here. Jesus didn't want to just say, but I'm here now. But I'm here. He just told a point blank, I'm the resurrection and the life. Because she said, I know when the resurrection comes out, he's going to be a, you know, in a brand new environment. I understand that. Jesus said, I'm that. I'm that that you're talking about. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus chewed up time right in front of her face. Them 4 days didn't mean nothing to Jesus. The resurrection in the future didn't mean nothing to Jesus, because everything in Jesus in time is now. Everything is now. He was in the earth walking around as a man, but he was living in the spirit the whole time he was walking through that flesh called Jesus. Christ was in Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. 4 days. Jesus chewed up 4 days and just stood at the tomb and called him. Lazarus, come forth. But see, I'm going to tell you what he did first. Jesus said this, and this is a reminder to all of us. Jesus said, remove the stone. See, in order to get these spiritual things, you got to remove the stone. Remove the stone of old-time thinking. Remove the stone of traditionalism. Remove the stone of religious activity. Remove the stone of carnal nature. This is what you're basically hearing is supernatural. This is all supernatural. See, the natural man can't receive it. So the natural man has to be made supernatural. Jesus gave eternal life. That's supernatural. He gave you life that you can have more abundantly. That's supernatural. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, because they're not natural to him. They're supernatural. Can't get it. But when supernatural is being preached to a mind that's already been changed, supernatural things ought to start happening. But you got to remove the stones. This is supernatural. It's not natural. It's not natural for these things to happen the way that the Lord tells us they're supposed to happen. See? We can't get caught up in time and sense, trying to make us victims of passing fancies. Only the true man or woman born of God can overcome the world. It takes faith to rise above. It takes faith to see life's true colors. It takes faith to look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. See? How do I do this? You do it by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith. That's a declaration. That's not a commandment. That's a declaration. That's something Jesus said, I know they do this. For we walk by faith, not by sight. That's a declaration, because in Habakkuk 2:4, he said, the just shall live by faith. What is faith? Hebrews tell us it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But faith in its purest essence is this, is putting trust in someone whose reputation is higher than ours.
That's right. That's right.
I'm trusting somebody else's know-how. God from Zion. You got to trust and have enough trust in someone who's a lot better at doing what you're trying to do. This is the Jesus Christ that we're trying to explain to you. You have to have trust in his character. That's why I said, let this mind be in you. Learn his character. Learn his attitude. Learn his responses. Learn how he does what he does. And once you learn how Jesus does it, you can walk by faith because of what Jesus does. I'm walking just like he did. That's how you walk by faith. Faith is not a blind step. Faith is tangible. Faith is tangible. Stop talking about I'm going to take a blind step of faith. Ain't no such thing. You can't walk in faith unless you have knowledge. Jesus, help me preach this. You have to have a knowledge of the word in order to walk by faith. If you don't have a knowledge of the word, what are you walking by? Jesus, Jesus, this is good. Good, Jesus. You have to have a knowledge of walking in what you know.
Yes.
Yes. See, once you understand what you're walking in, it makes the will of God so much easier. See, sometimes we struggle so hard. He didn't give us this thing to struggle with. We're not supposed to struggle with faith. See, the reason we struggle is because we have faith in ourselves. We have faith in what we can do. That's work. That's not an act of grace. You can't trust yourself and believe, I got enough faith. No, you don't. Our faith is in him. What he does. What he has accomplished. His nature. His character. I have faith in everything that Jesus did. He can walk on water. I got faith that he can do it. I trust him. That's what my faith is. In him. The scripture says this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. My faith is embedded in him. That should be where it starts, and that should be where it ends. You want to increase your faith? Because that's all he's asking you to do. You already have faith. Once you become a born-again believer, faith is already instituted. Just like the Holy Spirit. Stop asking for the Holy Spirit when you already have it. That's too much work. That's why he gave it. We should know the things that are freely given us. That's what the scripture says. We ought to know what is freely given. You've been freely given the Holy Spirit. We don't have to ask the Holy Spirit to come and dwell. If you said, I love Jesus and my born-again experience is enough, the Holy Spirit came with it. We're walking around and we see, but we don't know. How can you have faith for things you don't know? There's human faith and then there's eternal faith. There's spiritual realm faith. Your human faith depends on your senses. We operate in that every day. Brush your teeth, you see, you smell, you hear. That's human faith. But God is trying to pull us over into the eternal realm where we can walk by faith and not by sight or appearance. Because it's appearance sometimes that causes us to draw back. We'll see certain things and we'll think, well, I don't think I can handle that. Well, stop trying to handle it yourself. Keep it in mind that there's nothing too hard for God. Everything is on him. Beloved, that's all I'm trying to tell you. Everything is on him. It's not on us. All he called us to do is believe. Trust and believe. The man said, Jesus, Jesus, son of David. Jesus said, what you want? Well, we blind. Can't you see? You know what Jesus said? Believe you that I'm able to do this. Do you believe I can do it? That's all he said. Jesus said, don't you believe I can do it? He was so kind to him. Jesus talking so gentle and kind. Don't you believe I can do this? Don't you believe I can do it? That's all you have to do is believe I can do it. Boy, that's a nugget. Jesus said, don't you believe I can do it? So simple. It's the simplicity of the gospel. Yes, Jesus is trying to take this heavy burden of working off of us.
Yes.
So we can understand the simplicity of his word.
Amen.
All he asks us to do is get in the word and find out what you have.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Get a knowledge.
Amen.
So that when you ask me for something, you have evidence of what you're asking.
Yes. Oh.
But that what you're asking me is the substance of things hoped for.
Yes. Yes.
That when you ask for something, that is the evidence of things not seen. That's what he's saying. Well, knowledge. Got to have knowledge. It's time for us to go. I know. I want to give you as much as I can. It's only fair. What's the Greek word for faith? Pistis. P-I-S-T-I-S. It's confidence. It's trust. It's assurance. It's firm persuasion. It is not a product of the natural realm. It is rooted in the supernatural. That means it's not the sum total of emotions and feelings. Stop living by feelings.
Amen.
Stop walking by emotions.
Yes.
Stop walking by how you feel.
Amen.
Okay, so you got a headache. Stop walking by how you feel. Walk by faith. Believe that healing is for you.
Yes.
If healing is for you and you begin to pronounce that to your headache will leave.
Yes.
I woke up the other morning and for some reason I had this sharp back pain.
Mm.
And that back pain is something it'll stifle you.
Yeah.
I got in the shower and I just bent over and I started pronouncing the word of God.
Amen.
And I just began to pronounce what Jesus has done for me. How healing is for me. Healing is the children's bread.
Yes.
By his stripes I've been made whole. That he took my sickness. He took my pain. He took my sorrow. I begin to confess that. Let me tell you, it's not going to work overnight.
Nope.
But this did.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
I got up in the shower. And, and you know, you always got to test it. You got to test it, you know.
Yeah.
I start walking like that, you know. I was rejoicing because you had to apply. I believe the Lord allowed that to just see, okay, let me see if you know what you're teaching. Show me that you know what you're teaching. Demonstrate to me that you know what you're teaching. See, every word of God is tested. And God's got to try the word in me to make sure it's authentic before I bring it to you. I got to give it to you. It's got to be tried and tested in me. So, I didn't come in here bent down today. I feel good. Good. Okay. We need to stop looking at our faith and start looking at Jesus. Stop looking at our faith. See, that becomes a struggle. Because you start complaining, saying, my faith, you're questioning yourself. My faith ain't working. Something ain't wrong. I got faith for it. Why is it not happening? Stop looking at what you do. Let's start looking at what he's done.
Yes.
I love that. Stop looking at what we do and just start looking at what he's done. He's already done it. He's already done it. It's done. Glory to God. If I could revise Romans 10:17, I would say faith comes and grows by hearing the word. It comes and grows. The word, especially knowing what Christ accomplished on the cross at Calvary. We already have our inheritance. Jesus paid it all. Can you trust that?
Yes.
Can you have faith for that?
Amen.
And say that Jesus paid it all. We already have our inheritance. We already have the will and testament. We already have what the will declares. Mm-mm. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, if you have, I believe Sonia showed us, came and taught us one night, in a convention about the size of a mustard. She bought the mustard seed. Little teeny seed that you bought, son. You know, it'll give us a picture of how small faith can move and operate, regardless of how small it is. your small faith, or what we call that small degree of faith that you have, can move a mountain. It can do that. But the word of God declares that your faith is supposed to grow. See, it's supposed to grow. It's not going to stay small. That's if you exercise in your rights and go into the word of God. Because the more you hear about what Jesus has already accomplished, your faith begins to grow. Just in what Jesus Christ has accomplished will cause your faith to grow. Because you'll believe that what Jesus did, he did it for me. Yes. Having faith in someone who's higher and better character. I'm trusting everything in his hand. I'm trusting Christ. That's what my faith is. In your wonderful life, your faith is the power that operates your wonderful life. It's your faith that operates your wonderful life. The just shall live by it. I dare say, I don't mean no harm. I don't mean harm when I say this, but this is raw. We don't really exercise faith on a daily basis. We don't even try and practice faith. We don't try to live risky. Because we're afraid that we're going to fail. That tells you that you're working too hard and you're putting too much confidence in you. Yeah, stop trusting in you. See? That's why we're scared to practice. It's like having a swimming pool with a diving board and scared to go out there and dive off of it. You can have the biggest house with a diving board and you go stand on the end every morning and do like that and then go back in the house. And I know your neighbors are saying, well, when is he gonna dive? Faith. Huh? That's what it's like having this faith and not utilizing it. It's like getting on a diving board and just doing that. You can see that, couldn't you? Yeah. That's your faith. Take your faith and launch out into the deep. Go launch out into the deep in your faith. Huh? That's it for today. Stand to your feet.